This sermon, every Christian
is a
missionary, because that's the truth. And we're I thank God for, now I know there's full-time vocational missionaries, and we praise God for that. But in a greater sense, every Christian, you're either a missionary or a mission field here today. So if you are a Christian, you should have stood up when I asked that question. But I'll forgive you on that. We're in Missions Month, reaching your Jerusalem. And I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 21. And in these verses, Paul is speaking of a great work that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And then our responsibility to take the message about this great work to the world that is in desperate need of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why every member needs to be a missionary, by the way. So look with me, starting in verse 11 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Now jump down to verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lord, Father, would you make this clear to us today? We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up the eyes of our heart to behold the truth of the Word of God, and that, Lord, we might just not see it, but that we might then apply it to our lives and be the Christian, really, the Christian missionaries that you call us to be. I pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name. God's people said, amen. 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 As I shared in these verses, the work of God, and that's the work of reconciliation. It's mentioned five times. And then our responsibility in the light of that work is what Paul is speaking of here. So on your outline in your bulletin, the first point there is God has completed the work of reconciliation. God has completed the work of reconciliation. First of all, the work defined. What is reconciliation? Why is it necessary? Well, reconciliation means to get two parties back into right relationship, especially two parties or two people or two groups that are not getting along with each other. You know, you don't have to reconcile friends. You don't have to reconcile friends. You reconcile people that aren't getting along. You know, a husband and wife having marital problems. They're fighting. They can't get along, and they separate. You know what they need? What do they need? reconciliation. They need to be brought back into right relationship with one another. So reconciliation, what is it? Reconciliation means to conciliate. It means to restore a friendship, to bring into harmony or agreement, to bring back into right relationship or fellowship. To reconcile is to end a relationship of enmity and strife and hostility, and to substitute for it one of peace and goodwill. That's reconciliation. Bringing people back into right relationship. Now, why was there a need for reconciliation between God and man? It's sin, that's it. God created us to be in a relationship with Him. Can you imagine that? The God of the universe wants to be in relationship with you and with me. That's why He created us, so that we could enjoy Him and love Him, and He could pour out His love in us, and we could have this relationship. And at the beginning, it was so. But then man rebelled against God, turned his back on God, and that fellowship was broken. That fellowship was broken. Man was the one who turned away from God. And God, listen, being a holy, righteous, perfect being, could not have a relationship with sinful man. Sin caused a chasm, a great gulf between a holy God and sinful man. Your sin has made a separation between you and your God. And because of your iniquity, He does not hear, says the scriptures. You see, sin was the problem, wasn't it? Sin. And what sin is in its essence, it's just rebellion against God. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all what? Turned to our own way. Do our own thing. Go our own way. And fellowship with God was broken. That's why we need reconciliation. You see, sin at its root is rebellion against God. And from the moment sin entered into the human race, there existed, listen, enmity, hostility, war between God and man. Man turned his back on God, went his own way. And on God's side, listen, that affected God. On God's side, because He is so holy, and so God can't even look on sin, God had to turn away from sinful man. Because God is so pure and so holy, He cannot even look on sin with approval. Can't sweep it under the carpet. There was on both sides sin affected. Now, you know what? God could have chosen just to say, okay, I'm going to wipe out man. It's not worth it. He could have done that. But you know what He did? He chose to work the work of reconciliation. He chose to work the work of reconciliation. Man caused the problem. God didn't cause the problem.
That's right.
Man caused the problem. But God, listen, was the one who initiated the solution to the problem.
Amen.
You know, you think about this. Two people have a problem. I have a problem with somebody else. You know, we're not getting along. Who's going to initiate getting back into right relationship? Not me. Wasn't my fault. I'm not the problem. I'm not initiating. You know, she misunderstood what I said. She's too sensitive. I'm not going. I'm not initiating it. Aren't you glad God wasn't like that? God wasn't like that. You see, God didn't cause the problem. We caused the problem. But God initiated the solution. He initiated reconciliation. He didn't do anything wrong. It was us who committed the offense, but God took the initiative to get things back right again. God initiated the work of reconciliation to get us back into right relationship. That's the work defined. But you know what? This is the good news. The work is done. The work is done. What did God do to bring about reconciliation? He sent Jesus Christ. You see verse 19? Namely, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's what God did. He came in the person of Jesus Christ to reconcile the world to himself. There was an 11th century theologian. His name was Anselm. And he wrote a treatise. And the treatise is called Cur Deus Homo. Why did God become man? Why did God become man? And in that treatise, here's what Anselm says. He says, man sinned. And he sinned against an infinite God. And because his sin was against an infinite God, he incurred an infinite sin debt that man could not pay. The only one that could pay for that debt, that infinite debt, was an infinite God. Only one that could pay for that debt was God. But guess what? God didn't owe the debt. Man owed the debt. So God became man to pay the sin debt. Amen. Oh, come on. You got to say amen to that. Come on. Praise God. That's what God did. Yes. He came down. Namely, God was in Christ. He came down to pay the sin debt. And if you look at this, verse 14 says, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Jesus died for all. Verse 15 says it again. He died for all. Jesus died for every. He died for you. Look at me. He died for you. He died for me. He died for us. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus died for us to pay for our sins. And then it says there, do you see it there? It says, therefore all died. Now that's a tough one. That's a hard one. At least for me, it's difficult to understand. And I think what it's saying there is that Jesus died as a representative substitute in our place, and therefore he experienced our death for sin. In fact, look down at verse 21. This is an amazing verse. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. One commentator says that is the heart of atonement, right there in that verse. And he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. You see, Jesus knew no sin. He is the only person to ever live that never sinned. Never sinned. Peter says it this way. He says, in him no sin was found, neither was there guile in his mouth. John writes in his epistle, you know that he, Jesus, appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. The writer of Hebrews says it this way, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. No sin. Jesus had no sin. Jesus is sinless, spotless, perfect, righteous, holy, impeccable, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. Wow. My, oh my, oh my. Jesus, only man that ever lived, had no sin. The wages of sin is death. Do you see what that means? That means that Jesus did not have to die. Jesus could have lived on forever. But you know what? willingly. He let men take him and nail him to a cross. Put him on the cross. And he died. And when he died, listen, this is, he didn't die for his own sins. He had none. He died for your sins. Amen. And this pastor's sins. He took our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Praise God. He did this. You know why he did it? So you can be forgiven. Yes. And so I can be forgiven. And we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, when a person believes in Jesus Christ, we're saved. And you know what happens? Listen, watch this. We are reconciled to God. Amen. We are brought back into a relationship with God. The relationship you and I were created to be in, that's what happens. It says Jesus Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. That why? That he might bring us to God. That we can have peace with God. That we can be reconciled with God. And I want to say this. Listen, the work is done. Every other religion in the world, you know what it is? Do, 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 do. If you do enough, you might make it. Christianity is different. Christianity is not do, do, do. It's done. It's done. The work is finished. God completed the work of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Second on your outline, God called us to be workers of reconciliation. You see verse 18? It says, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, the ministry. He did the work. He did the work. He's reconciled us to himself. But listen, now he's given us a ministry. He's given us a ministry. And it's the ministry of reconciliation. But, you know, we're to help people get back into right relationship with God. But you know, there's a big problem. You know what it is? Most people don't even realize that they're apart from God. Most people don't realize there's a problem between them and God and man. They know, listen, everybody today, you're here today, you know there's a problem. I mean, you know there's a problem inside, you know there's a problem out in the world today. Deep down inside, we know something's wrong in the world. But you know what people do? They blame socioeconomic conditions. They blame the environment. They blame the political bungling in Washington, D.C. They blame racial prejudice and injustice. They are only symptoms. They're just symptoms. The problem is man is alienated from God. That's the problem. You know, last Sunday night, out in Las Vegas, Stephen, what is it, Paddock? You know, what's wrong with this? What made him do it? What made him do it? Socioeconomic conditions. He's a multimillionaire. Oh, maybe it's environment. No. Environment was okay. Maybe he lacked education. No. And you know what? Fact is, what happened last Sunday night is just a symptom. Yes. The problem is, man is separated from God. That they're alienated from God. So part of our ministry is to help people realize their condition. Our ministry is to make them aware of the real problem of their need to get right with God. By our life and our lips, our walk and our talk, our relationship with God, we're to call people. Listen, be reconciled to God. Get right with God. You need to get right with God. That's what we're to do. We're to do that. You have been made for a relationship with God. And you need to get right with Him. We're to help them get back into that personal relationship, the relationship for which they were made. What a great ministry we are called to. High, holy privilege to be co-laborers together with Jesus Christ in the ministry of getting people into a personal, eternal relationship with God, our awesome God. That's the ministry that we are called to. We are called to be workers in the ministry of reconciliation. Yes. Wow! What a privilege. What a responsibility. Amen. I'm just going to mention the motives. What's our motives here? I'm just going to mention them. I have a whole section on it, but time-wise, I'm going to be careful this week because last week I went way over. I know. I repent. But you know what? The motives. Do you see the motive up in verse 11? He says there in verse 11, therefore knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. You see the verse in front of that? That's verse 10. Every one of us must stand at the judgment seat of Christ. That's Christians. That's not the great white throne judgment over in Revelation 20 where non-Christians are going to stand. This is the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before that judgment seat and give an account of our ministry. Amen. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But down in verse 14, do you see the other motive? It's the love of Christ that compels me. It's the love of Christ that drives me. I mean, if He would lay down His life for me. You know anybody that died for you? You might know some people that would die for you. Well, I'll tell you what, God died for you. And if that doesn't touch your heart's hard. The love of Christ, He has showered us with His love. He laid down His life for me. The least I can do is live my life for Him. And you know what? We want to tell others because we want others to give Him praise and worship and glory that He deserves. Amen. And we don't want them to go to hell. We don't want them to be lost. That's a good motive. But we want Christ to receive praise. Amen. That's a motive. The motives for this ministry of reconciliation, the fear of the Lord and the love of Christ. Then go to 3 on your outline. God has completed the work of reconciliation. He's called us to be workers of reconciliation. And number 3, God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see there? Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, He's given us the message. He's given us what we're to share. And you know what it is? It's the gospel. Amen? Yeah. It's the gospel. And we already talked about one aspect of the gospel. Good news. Christ died for your sins. That's good news. You know, Christ died for my sins. I can be forgiven. But that's only the first half of it, right? The second half is what? He didn't stay dead. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. Do you see it there? It's down in verse 15. He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Good news is Christ died for sins, but He didn't stay dead. He rose again. That's why you can know Him. That's why you can have a personal relationship with Him, because He's a living Savior. He's alive. I know He's here this morning. He's here. And the good news is you can enter. Listen, if you will believe, if you'll turn from your sins and put your faith in Christ. And Lord, I don't understand it all, but I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose from the dead. I'm committing my life to you. Amen. Come into my heart. You know what will happen? What happened to me on August 26, 1970? Christ will come into your heart, and you will be, look what it says here. What will happen? It says you will be, in verse 17, a new creation, a new creature. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. You can have a new start. You can have a new life, a new relationship. You will begin a relationship with Christ that will not end throughout all eternity. It's eternal life. It's eternal life. And wow, what a privilege. That's the word of reconciliation. And you see what it says here? He has committed this to us. Over in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, it says, he's entrusted us with the gospel. He said, here, church, here's the message. Take it to the world. And I'm trusting you to get it out. I'm trusting you. He committed that to us. He ordained to use it to bring people into his family, but he's given it to us. See why every member is a missionary? Every member a missionary. And then number four, lastly. God has completed the work of reconciliation. He's called us to be workers of reconciliation. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. And number four, God commissioned us to go into the world for reconciliation. You see, down in verse 20, love this verse. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, as though God were beseeching or God were pleading through us, appealing, making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. When it says we are ambassadors, in that context, that's referring to, I think, the apostles. But by extension and application, it applies to us. Yes. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, Brother Jeremy brought this to my attention. I'm glad he did because I looked it up. The word ambassador here is a little different, although it has some of the same things, Jeremy, but a little different from how it was used back when this was written. The word is presbutes. And it had two meanings back at this time. A presbutes was a man directly commissioned by the emperor to oversee the more turbulent imperial provinces in the Roman Empire. He was directly commissioned and administered the province on behalf of the emperor. Now, a second meaning of that word, presbutes, again, very interesting. A second meaning there is that presbutes, when a country was conquered and the Roman Senate decided that it should bring that country in as a Roman province, a group of presbutai were sent to present the terms of peace to the vanquished people. And you know what the terms of peace were? Unconditional surrender. They also determined the boundaries of the new province and drew up the constitution, and they were responsible for bringing others into the family, into the Roman Empire. Now, what does that say to us? We're ambassadors. Four things. Put these down. They're good. An ambassador is one who is sent to a foreign country. Sent out to a foreign country. And you know what? We're sent out to a foreign country. The world. And I'll tell you, it's getting more foreign all the time. Hey, amen? Come on, give me that amen from Urban Vision. It's all around. It's foreign. We're going cross-culture. We're going out to a foreign world. A foreign world. And in that foreign world, you know, we're called, we're sent out. The work doesn't get done here. The work gets done. You see that sign out when you go out today? You're now entering the mission field when you go out the doors. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, God, as you have sent me into the world, now I'm sending them into the world. We're an ambassador. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Amen. We're ambassadors. Number two, an ambassador represents and speaks for the king. Ha! We don't represent ourselves, right? We don't represent ourselves. We represent Christ. We don't speak our own message. We deliver the message of the king. We speak and act on his behalf. We're an ambassador for Christ. Number three, an ambassador lays down the terms of peace and helps bring people into the family. Isn't that good? I'm going to tell you, the terms of peace, unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender. You've got to give your heart to Christ. There's no, well, I'll half-heartedly, well, I'll kind of believe. No, no, you've got to give your heart to Christ. And it's none of this easy believism stuff. And it's none of this, you ask Jesus in your life and you're going to be blessed and have all kinds of good things. I'll tell you what, it's the way of the cross. Amen. It's the way of the cross. It's the best way. It's the only way to go. But I'm going to tell you what, it's not an easy way. It's not easy. It's tough. It's hard. It's the way of the cross. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the call. That's the call. Unconditional surrender of your life to Christ. It involves turning from your own way, repentance, and trusting Christ to be your Savior. Jesus Christ has made the peace treaty already. He signed it in his blood. When one receives Christ as Savior, you know what you have? Peace with God. Amen. Peace with God. You're reconciled to God. And listen, you enter God's family or God's kids. That's what happens. And then number four, an ambassador lives in a foreign land, but his citizenship is in the sending country. Like that. We live in the world, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, the king, you know what he's going to do? He's going to call his ambassadors home. What a day that's going to be when Jesus calls his ambassadors to come home. Folks, we are missionary ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Now, I want to demonstrate this. So these three gentlemen, I need volunteers. You three gentlemen, come on up here. You three gentlemen, come on. Jim, you stand over here. Jordan, you just stay right there for a second here. No, Jordan, why don't you come on right over there? Okay, now I'm going to show you what our come on up here, right beside this guy right here. That's good. What our ministry is. Now, you're going to have to use your imagination here. Because here is God. Big imagination, huh? Big imagination. And here is man. We're good.
I fit that one.
Okay. At the beginning, when God created man, they were in a right relationship. They were one. He created this guy to love him and to have a relationship. They talked to each other. They fellowshiped together. It was good. But then something happened. You know, God created him with a free will. The reason he did so that he could love, because if you don't have a free will, you can't love. But man chose to rebel and disobey God, turn his back on God, and walk away from God. And you know what? There was a separation. There was a gap. But you know what? This affected God. Also, sin affected God. On the God side, God is so holy that he cannot look on sin. Habakkuk chapter 1. So God was turned away from man. Now, God, you know what God could have done? He could, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way.
Amen.
That's us. That's mankind. We're all in the same boat. Sinners, rebellion. And what exists in here? Enmity, strife, war. And God could have said, forget you. He could have destroyed man. But you know what? God. And you know what? He's the one that sinned. He's the one that caused the problem. It should have been him begging God for reconciliation. But you know what? Who initiated reconciliation? God did. God still loved man so much that he sent his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus. You know what? Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And this Jesus came down. He made him who knew no sin, perfect, spotless, sinless, impeccable, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Had no sin. And yet, what did man do to him?
Killed him.
You see, alienation from God. That's the problem. And yet Christ laid down his life, if you can, you're a strong young man. He went to the cross. And he died on the cross for our sins. He took all the penalty of our sins upon him. All the sins that we had done. He made him who knew no sin to be sin. Not morally. He wasn't sin morally. He was sin as a representative, as a sin offering. He became a sin offering. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Now, but God, when Christ died on the cross, you know what? Namely, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God, through the cross, has been reconciled to the world. God now can have that relationship with men. Now the problem on God's side has been taken care of. Now, what's our ministry? You know what our ministry is? It says, our ministry, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were beseeching or pleading through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You know, listen, you sinner. You are apart from God. You're separated from God. Your sin has made a separation between you and your God. And because of your iniquity, he doesn't hear. You are alienated from God. There's enmity between you and God and you. And what you need to do is you need to repent. That means you need to turn, not yet. You need to turn from going your way to God. It's not accept Christ and have it your way. It's not, oh, Christ comes into my life to make my life better. No, Christ comes into our life that we may love and serve him. Amen. It's not a selfish thing. You need to turn from going your way to Christ and believe on him, and God will forgive your sins and bring you back into right relationship with God. Will you repent and believe?
I will.
And he turns. He believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, you're good. And you know what Christ does? There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And so they are now brought back into right relationship. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, God's already done the work.
Amen.
God completed the work of reconciliation. Now he has called us to be ministers of reconciliation. And he has given us the word of reconciliation. It's the gospel. And now we are called, we are commissioned to go into the world for the purpose of getting people back in right relation to God, right relationship with God. Praise God. Now I want you to see something. I want you to see something. There's people like this in your Jerusalem. In your neighborhood. In your school. In your place of work. There are a bunch of people like this. And God sent you there to reach them. Amen. Lord, we just bow before you. We just thank you, God. What a joy. What a blessing it is to know that the work of reconciliation is done. Lord, we were the ones that made the problem. But you were the one that initiated and worked the plan of reconciliation. How can we ever say thank you for that, Lord? And there are people here today, Lord, that need to be reconciled to God. Look up. Look at me. You know, we as people should be begging God to save us. But do you see that verse there? God begs. We're ambassadors for Christ as though God were beseeching through us. I beg you. We should be begging God. He begs us. Oh, come to me. All ye who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll save your soul. Lord, would you touch hearts today? Someone here today, you want them to come. Just come forward in this church service. That's hard to do, but you want them to come, and you want them to receive your Son. Would you give them the courage, Holy Spirit, and motivate them, move them to come to the front of this church and just say, I want to be reconciled to God. And Lord, as your people, as we go from this place, help us to remember that we're all missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen.